closing out the week on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Austin Mackey, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. In about 35 minutes, we're going to do a Leaf line where you guys call us up, vent, and we listen.
Are people mean today, Sam, or are they nice?
Our callers rock. Okay. I would say that there's some frustrations. I'd say there's some fun. I'd say there's lots of different things.
Right. So,
yeah. Top of the hour, we'll welcome in on a Friday, Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, head coach. Now, we had him on last week after the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving him a week to see how things have settled in on certain players, on their respective clubs. We'll get his thoughts as well. But in the meantime, let's focus on our Leaf Hour edition of our program. And might I say, we're going to need the full hour on this one.
Yeah.
Well, we have our Leafs callers, so they'll help too.
They'll help us.
They'll help us use the full hour to say, what exactly did we see last night in a 3-2 victory for the Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers versus the Toronto Maple Leafs? JB, you go first.
Well, I will say that all of the things that we expected to see between these two teams, I think we saw. I think we saw a very good pace, good effort, good energy in the game. I think you saw a Florida Panthers team that was really hard to get through. A lot of interference and picks, and I thought they were physical and they were hard on Stolarz. Falling all over him, digging at him. The Leafs, as has been the case when they've come up against this team or teams like this in the past, couldn't create, which they haven't created in some while now. The special teams let them down, and in the end, they fall just short. Which, if you had put into AI what's going to happen tonight, that would have been the output.
Correct.
Based on the past.
Do you want to respond or?
No, you.
Okay, I didn't see just short.
Way short.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. I
didn't see way short.
Did not like a lot of what I saw last night. I didn't see just short. I saw substantially short.
I think when you fall just short enough times, I should probably tweak my thoughts because they're clearly not that close. It's clearly not one bounce away. But,
listen. Yeah. I mean, we do know there's a good team somewhere there, right? In contending team. Maybe that's too strong right now, but a team that is amongst, we thought, 7 or 10 that could win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Or contend anyways. So I get what you're saying, but last night I thought was a measuring stick. They had enough time to come home, get a good practice, and really show the Florida Panthers that they're going to be a team to be reckoned from here on end. Mm-hmm. And just didn't get it last night. I called for a start, which I got.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Thanks to Max Domi. Like, say what you will about his season, that's as good as it gets for Max last night.
Yes. That is everything he can do in a nutshell.
And through at least my television, I did not go down there live. I didn't get the vibe live, but it certainly came through my television that it was electric after Ty's hit.
Max.
Yep. I saw Ty last night.
Yep.
About 10 times. Max's hit, his fight, the energy that it brought, the building came through right into my living room. And at that moment, I'm like, yes, that's a statement, and let's go. And I didn't get the let's go after that.
Well, listen, we saw that a couple times because we didn't get the let's go after Knies fought White Cloud, in their game. But even to the let's go factor, you could argue, depending on how you feel about hockey, that the let's go starts with Nylander to Tavares, 5-on-5 goal. They take advantage, get one less than 2 minutes in.
Great start, Sammy.
Everything was coming up Leafs for seven minutes.
We got it.
What?
Usually we don't talk about anything about what we saw last night until we're on the air, and that's the case right now. But I had a sense that, like, you have not been well all day.
No.
Well,
it's a good sense.
Leafs talk is you have to go on right away, and it's like immediately, like, however pissed off you are about watching what you just watched, you have to do it right away. And, you know, last night I went on there feeling pretty down, not going to lie, and I slept on. I woke up. I felt worse. So.
Ooh. You weren't hard enough.
The thing that really – no, not even that. The thing that really hurts me is what you mentioned there, Kipper, is that it's been bad starts and it felt like they haven't been engaged in the games. And it's like, you know, it got exactly what I wanted from the Leafs last night.
Big play by big players.
They were excellent to start. And Max Domi goes flying through. He couldn't probably believe that Carter Verhaeghe wasn't going to pull his head up. And he got the tee off on him. He gets to beat the crap out of Schmidt. The crowd's going crazy. And I see the Florida Panthers respond 10 times better to that than the Leafs did. Mm. They took the game over right after that happens.
Where is the energy through it to go right through your building off of Max? And I'm not saying that we needed two more fights, but you needed a little bit of that Canada-US moment where it's like, you want a second one, we'll go a second one. You want a third one, we'll go a third one. But we're not letting go of this energy. And where was McMahon? Where was Knies? Where were the rest of them to go? If Max at 5'10 and 175 pounds can do that, where's Matthew Knies to go, I'm 6'3, I'm 240. Let's go.
Yeah, I think there's fundamentally different in that he's on the top line and supposed to be part of a line that scores goals. And I don't think that his mindset is this is an alley fight. It's we're trying to beat that team.
Justin, you don't need to be one or the other. There is such a gray area where you can pick and choose what that means to you.
Totally.
If it's a scrum, if it's an FU, is it going by their bench and giving them a hairy eyeball? I don't care what it is, but it needs to follow up. And it just dies on the vine.
I think there's not enough from this team of recognizing that it's Florida's right now. It's not you guys or them. You guys are them. It's Florida. They won the cup. They're the big dogs. They're in first. That you have to go take it from. And there does seem to be this sort of, it's competition. It's like, no, it's Florida's. And so you're right that there's not enough. All right, this whole thing is going to have to be a war.
I want to come in here, and boys, I'm a Leaf fan. I really, really want to believe in this group. I really want to have hope going forward about the potential of this team giving every Leaf fan what they really have always wanted for their entire lives. And we all felt at the start of this era that it was going to be, you know, this was the era that would do it, or this is the era that would get close. Like, I want you to talk to Leafs Nation, talk to me, and tell me, after watching what we saw last night with No Marchand, Tkachuk, and Ekblad, I might add, what should give us hope that the Toronto Maple Leafs could beat that team 4-7 in a playoff series?
I'm happy to be the hope guy because I didn't see that game and see a lopsided thing. I think we go into that game with sort of this bias of, you know, Florida is whatever, that they're 10 times better than the Leafs. You know, in that game,
you don't have to be 10. You can be like one or two.
Right.
And I think that's what we saw last night.
Well, see, to me, that game is very even. Some of the, in terms of chances and whatever, Florida didn't get much at all last night. Florida at 5-on-5 didn't get anything.
But they
actually, they got the fewest expected goals against.
But they have the puck more. They spend more
time. They didn't
time.
Have the puck more. No, they didn't.
It looks to me like they move the puck better. They're quicker on their decisions. Their forechecks are harder. It looks better.
Yeah, and that's it. Maybe it does look better. I don't think any of that is, I don't want to say it's not true because I know it's Florida. And I know I'm, you know, people think I'm overcompensating for the Leafs. The numbers like the Leafs last night in that game by a bit. The eye test to me is Florida gets two power play goals. The Leafs get skunked on their power play, which stunk. And otherwise, I'm like this. I see a special teams loss last night. The Leafs were pretty bad on that power play. So can they be good on the power play? You want some hope for Leaf Nation? Can they be good in the power play? Yeah. 2 years ago in the playoffs, they were good in the power play. It's possible. Can Florida, you know, can they keep Florida to 1 5-on-5 goal and tighten it up from there? Sure. I didn't think it was that lopsided.
I don't see a team that moves the puck well. I see a defense that stop moving their feet. I see stretch passing. I don't see a group coming out together with great support. Mm-hmm. I see constant turnovers. I watch. And, yeah, okay, specialty teams, but, like, bad mistakes. Like, Jake McCabe taking his eye off of Bennett and just not knowing where he is, no awareness whatsoever. Bennett, not in a million years, should get a free pass to go get that tap in front of the crease without paying a price from
puck
Jake
focused,
McCabe.
Eh? Like, the Mikkola game is the same thing. Everyone's on the puck, and they're like, oh, right, coverage.
Stupid penalties, like Kampf. What world do you think you can get that path behind Bobrovsky and keep a play alive?
Like, yeah, it's not there.
Don't go in there.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's the biggest one that would have pissed me off the most if I'm Craig Berube. And I'm not even sure it got a real mention last night. We know TSN did the game last night, and you know, we've done enough games where you do get focused on wanting your clip. We've done enough games where it's like, you're like, okay, I want that. And you build it like 10 minutes before that and all of that. But last night, no real mention out of anybody on too many men on the ice. Mm. Late in the second period, it's 2-1. Mm-hmm. And you give one of the top power plays that opportunity to go up to 3-1 on a too many men on the ice. Like, that is just brain dead. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that against that team. And you know what's even worse? Same thing happened the game we covered in Utah. Mm-hmm. Too many men on the ice. Go see which guys were involved. Last night, Matthews and Knies. Monday, Matthews and Knies.
You see the McMahon change last night, though? The faux change? That McMahon change was camo. That was brutal.
So who's... So you're blaming McMahon?
I mean, you can't take McMahon off the hook if that's what you're about to do, but you can't take Matthews off the hook either. They're both on the hook. You got to make sure the guy changes.
Like, I get that McMahon probably gave everybody on the bench the feel that he's coming, but you cannot take your eye off the guy that you're changing for.
Right.
Okay? And they slept.
That's fine.
They absolutely slept.
Yep.
So Knies goes out, and he's got McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? Like,
I don't know who is for who, but
well,
okay.
Come on. Yeah, it's like a centerman takes a centerman.
Right.
So, if I'm not mistaken, it was Lawton for Matthews and Knies for McMahon.
Okay.
And, like, Knies jumps out there. And then by the time he realizes that, oh, my God, my man didn't come off, or I don't know what happened, now Matthews is out there thinking he replaced Lawton.
Yeah. I mean, if you think it is a symptom of a bigger thing the Leafs need to address, that's fine. If it's just a one-off guys being dumb, be focused.
Twice in two games.
Yeah.
Same guys, not focused, not paying attention. I got a real issue with that.
Do we know how to look up how many bench miners? I have no idea to do that, but it feels like they've had a few of them. I feel bad changes or whatever, but
that's the game right there. 3-1.
Last year they had a bunch, and it was Sheldon Keefe's fault, and we were all over him. But
you can kill a penalty, too. You're allowed to kill a penalty. You're allowed to get a big penalty kill.
Those always find a way to bite you in the ass.
Here's the problem that I see. I see a team that came out of the Four Nations break with their top two players, Matthews and Marner, playing significantly worse than they played before the Four Nations break. I see a team that is more top-heavy and built on the success of three or four players than any other team. And so they're more hurt by the lack of success from the top guys. I did some research onto guys who went to the Four Nations. A lot of the top guys have seen their production dip since, particularly the Canadian and American guys who had the week-long build-up to two big games. They haven't been as good. it hurts the Leafs more than other teams that their top guys played in that event. Matthews missed a game in that event. He wasn't right to begin with. And so I don't know if they're tired. I don't know if they're hurt. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's contract stuff with Mitch. I don't know what. But the two of them are not good right now, and so they're losing.
I don't even know why then Matthews is out there killing penalties. Get him off.
Totally.
Get him off PK.
Yeah.
Well, why is he out there, period? Like, everybody yelled and screamed about how stupid it would be to consider the LTIR stuff before the deadline. We talked about it all the time. It's not close to what it's been in years past. We all know that. Mm-hmm. There's something bothering him. We've talked about it at all times, like a million times in this show. They need him to have a cold splash of water in the face or something to wake up, or let him sit down and find, you know, some rest or whatever, some treatment, fly to Germany, whatever it is, to try to get better for the playoffs, because it's not close to what it's been. It doesn't look great. Marner in the same boat. I don't think he was very good last night. And that's what, you know, these Leaf fans in general have these huge blow-ups over regular season games against big teams that resemble what they know happens in April. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, like, you know, it's a regular season game. Everyone talked about how it was a really big game, but it's still ultimately, it's a game in March. It's not the playoffs. But when it looks exactly,
it's a reminder like of
every heartbreaking loss that this team's had, where they've been close and they've come out in the media and they've all been like, yeah, the shots just didn't fall. We had a lot of great chances. We were close. They've been close a hell of a lot, and they haven't been able to push it over the line. And last night is just, it's the guy who always shows up in the big game shooting two in the net and breaking your back, and the guys who don't get nothing. So it's just, it's a really tough pill to swallow for Leaf fans. And they're emotional today,
and
man.
And I know it's simple for you to sit there and go, okay, this is exactly what we see in the playoffs.
It is.
But it's also exactly what we've seen maybe the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, where they just, even prior to...
But not against that opponent.
Yeah, their numbers have been bad.
No, but they find, against Vegas.
Sure.
Against Colorado.
But they find ways to win against other teams, Kipper. They've had lots of wins. They had a good stretch. They were 9-3 over that brutal road trip.
Weaker teams.
For sure. And, like, you can talk about being on the road in Vegas, one of the hardest places to play, at altitude in Colorado, whatever. But when you come into your building after two nights off and you play against a team that you very well could see in the playoffs, and they beat you the way every team always beats you in the playoffs, Leaf fans are beside themselves today.
They are having trouble putting together 60 minutes.
They are. And you know what's worse about this is the next 6 days, they play four times. They play tomorrow, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. So if you're talking about rest or being tired, four games in six nights coming up.
Okay, let's get, you got a little taste of our thought of last night. Let's go to head coach Craig Berube on his overview last night.
Yeah, it was a good battle. I thought 5-on-5 was a pretty even game. I liked our third period a lot. You know, differences, you know, they scored two power play goals. And we didn't capitalize on our PP, but, you know, we got to get that puck, you know, the one there and the second PP goal, their PP goal. Like, we got to get that puck out.
Yeah.
That was the
lot in play.
The lot in play.
The lot was better last night.
Noticeable, at least.
Yeah. Had way more physical, which we talked about.
Got to get that puck out.
Got to get
the bear down. Yeah. Got to get that puck out.
We have an overview number two.
Yeah.
Why don't we follow up with that one?
Well, I knew going in, and we all knew going in, it's tight. It's not, you know, the way they play, there's not a lot of room, and you got to stay patient within your game and not force things. And I thought we did a good job of that. You know, we limited them shots, and they limited us shots. I mean, that's a high-volume shot team. So I thought our checking was good, and I thought we did a lot of good things. You know, you always want to be better. Trust me. Like, you know, we got to push through this and get better. But, you know, we competed hard, and it was a hard game. It was a tough, tight hockey game out there. And, again, you know, we had power play opportunities, and we didn't capitalize on them, and they did.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We were just talking about Lawton before that. I hate to say this, but he might be great on the left wing with like Tavares and Nylander. I know.
The need of a third line centerman, and you're pushing him to the wing already.
He played some shifts up there. He's physical. It gets in pucks. If it comes to him, he could put it away. It's like,
and that's not to suggest you're wrong.
No. But, I mean, bright spot, Pontus Holmberg.
But
very good lately.
Pontus Forsberg.
He could be get third him back line in the C. Yeah. He's been very good lately.
Florida's harder on pucks than the Leafs are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Is that fair?
I think they're harder on getting to pucks. One of their guys took an interference. Bennett took an interference play. On Benoit. But that one gets called. But they do it 300 other times.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get to the puck.
That first penalty in front of the net, too, with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, just bad call. One guy, bad call. The scrum, he refused to whistle it down when Stolarz had the puck. Of course guys are going to be out there pushing and shoving and fighting for it. And one guy throws a little bit of a jab. The other guy cross-checks back. Take them both off or let it run. Just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. And even Benoit's interference call, please don't call that in the playoffs.
I actually agree with
you.
Like,
please.
It is interference, but it's like,
no, not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. Guys are fighting for space. God, I just wish all games would be called like Four Nations.
But also, like, you know, to your point, Bennett is a step ahead of Benoit and can choose the lane he wants to skate in. So it's kind of tough to call that one interference. I don't know. The one thing I will say about the OEL thing, he was a bright spot for me last night. Do you guys notice him at all?
Played hard.
He's involved physically. I like his touches.
Right? Got buddies over there. You want to show them, screw you. You let me go. You didn't want me back.
Yeah. I thought he was a bright spot, but there weren't too many.
Go ahead.
You nailed it, though, with that scrum around the net. Like, I don't know who the official is, but hey, hero. Maybe just blow the whistle.
Yes.
Right. Like,
come on.
You know, like,
not sure if you followed the Panthers, but they're going to be in there with pitchforks.
Jackknifing in from behind.
You don't think emotions will get going with Sam Bennett's allowed to just keep spearing his glove
and fall on your injury-prone
Stolarz's glove.
Can I tell you, though? Like, God, he's such a gamer.
He was such
a gamer. Like, just right in nose in everything.
And he takes pucks to the net.
He was so good.
And he just refuses to be denied.
He actually changed my mind on him because for a while I thought he was like a brute who was like, you know, having a high shooting percentage run on a good team. And you watch him handle the puck. He's making good decisions. He's a lot of good things.
Scored one of the three goals in the biggest hockey game in 15 years for Canada where it's like huge clutch moment after they score a goal. It's like he's going to be so rich. Could there be a better time for him to be a free agent? No. Honestly.
All right. Let's go back to another Kippers Clipper with Craig Berube on those penalties we spoke of moments ago.
Bench Miner was unfortunate, obviously.
Yeah, we can't take that penalty. Those are the ones that kill you. Yeah.
And OELs, what did you think of them?
Well, you know, we talked about, you know, they're going to do all this stuff, you know, and no whistles, and they get in there and get involved, you know, so he punched a guy, but, you know, they two-handed one of our guys, too. And, like, they just take us. But we got to be more disciplined, no doubt about it. You know, when you play those guys and, you know, you can't retaliate.
I love hockey. I love hockey. Like, what other walk of life? Why?
You can't even punch a guy anymore?
Him.
That's good.
All right, we should get to Max Domi. We started him off the top of the show. We loved everything that he did. Let's get to his head coach's thoughts.
Had a heck of a game, in my opinion. Big hit, fight, scored a goal. I mean, he was skating and working. So I thought he was good.
Yeah, pretty simple. He was that. I mean, that's why he's in over a guy like Robertson is he can change the pace of a game, the course of a game, without having to get points.
Yeah, I saw a bit of like the Robertson buzz bubbling up. Like, what? Like, if you're watching that game and be like, boy, this game could use Nick Robertson, like, we're a different type of hockey fan. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I get that he can shoot it in the net once in a while, but I'm watching that game like, you know what would really help these board battles against this mutant team? Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
That's what they need.
Yeah. I saw Max be the Leafs' answer to Sam Bennett last night. You know, I mean, say what you will, but that's the closest version that the Leafs have.
That's scary, right? I mean, no disrespect to Max, because he had a great game. He did everything you could ask of him. I don't know, he probably did it all in 12 minutes or something.
It's amazing how quickly watching him play in that game and getting himself into the game with one of the biggest hits. That'll be when they do top 10 hits of the year for the NHL, that'll be in it. Like, that's one of the bigger hits you'll see. How immediately into the game he was, and how immediately, as a fan watching that game,
yeah,
I wanted him involved. Just,
I wanted the puck back out there.
I wanted the puck in his stick. I wanted him out there. I thought he was so just engaged and ready for the challenge.
Even Verhaeghe's reaction was like, okay, who was that? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, he was bailing out as it was happening.
Yeah.
He was like, I need to go the other direction here. God, I'm looking at Natural Stat Trick. The Matthews-Marner line had 87% of expected goals. Scoring chances were 8-2, and high danger chances were 7-0 when they were in the ice at 5-on-5.
What?
Didn't see that, eh?
Did you?
I thought Matthews had a couple around the net, but no, I didn't. But I think the point people are making is defensively, they were good.
Sure.
They didn't give up anything the other way. Like, who offensively did you like aside
from
Bennett?
He's got to shoot it in the net. He does. And Marner's, you know, typically when it's those two carrying the offense. Yeah.
Marner passes to... Can we split them up for a game? Like, it
Marner
wasn't
passes
there last...
to Matthews. Matthews shoots it in the net.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be on a pace of 70 goals a game season, but it can't be 30 or 35.
I thought last night was an obvious night to split them up and just say they don't have it. They haven't had it. Matthew's in a slump. Can we just get a different look for a bit? Didn't do it.
The thing I noticed about Matthews is he feels like he needs to get way closer to the net to score. Like, he feels like that in his mind. You know, the one where he goes in on the power play where Marner does a little chip pass and he gets that lane to the net. When he's scoring 70 last year, it's one stick handle rip.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get right down on top of the goalie to score. Feels like he doesn't trust it as much as he used to.
The thing that all the great scorers have most often than not is separation space, separation speed, quickness, separation. He's got no separation right now. He does not have that jump to give himself more space. It's gone. There is no separation space for him. He's a lot easier to check today than we've ever seen, really. I don't know how far you want to go back his rookie year, and he still scored 40, but like, there's nothing there. There's not that extra juice, that extra step, that separation space for him to go in there and pick his corner. It's like gone.
Well, it's an inch, right? You need, like, the difference between the guy getting a stick on a tip or not is an inch. And
he's mishandling the puck.
Yeah.
Did he not have the puck late in the game last night? And the thing...
Hopped his stick.
Yeah, right? I know, but we never really saw hopping of pucks over his sticks over the years.
Yeah. See, some of this stuff, it can't all be, you know, if you think he's hurt, that's not, you know, a bad change on a... too many men call or the puck hopping a stick. But I do think this physical stuff is real. I do think he's not getting separation. And
he picks his spots, when to be engaged and when not to be engaged. I'm still thinking he's either hurt or psychologically he doesn't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
That, one of the two.
That certainly can
but
be
I'm
part of
But I'm seeing
it.
At times this guy push snow.
Yeah. Just looks tired
compared
to usual for whatever reason. But.
Yeah.
It is certainly a problem. They can't win without him being a better version of himself. So, you know, to Sam, your point, like, would you want to rest him 4 games in 6 nights? Do you want to just give him a, let him take a knee here to find the best version? But I remember having these conversations 2 years ago when he scored 40 after scoring 60. I remember these very well. It's like, he's not quite right. It's the absence of greatness. I don't know
not
what it
like
is.
Not like this.
Was he?
Just like this.
Was he hurt?
Yeah,
in that preseason?
Well, people had thought that it was a wrist.
Didn't he come off the wrist surgery?
We never did find out what.
We never find out anything.
Yeah.
Listen, you may be right, and I'm overthinking this, but I don't remember stretches like this for him.
Yeah, goals per game are pretty similar pace. But no, maybe not like this. This is as bad as it ever has been in his career.
One 5-on-5 goal in 16 games is
unheard of.
Not
on the 5-on-5 king.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. A lot of the reason, like one of the reasons they're struggling so mightily to score at 5-on-5 is because the best 5-on-5 goal scorer on the planet isn't really there right now. So, anyways, Tanev?
Tanev, certainly it does feel differently when he's back. It seems like everybody's slotted a little better, but I think there's so much cleaning up to do back there that even Tanev coming back isn't enough unless these guys start playing better.
You know, I thought the other guy who had a really good game was Brandon Carlo. Brandon Carlo, you know, there are signs that it can work with Riley. Like last night, they controlled a lot of the play, didn't get beat. He wasn't on for any against. Like, I thought a good sign that he could hang in a game like that. Morgan, I know you didn't like as much.
Yeah, Morgan, to me, I hate it when he doesn't move his feet and then he starts looking for these stretch passes. Yes. And just not a good look for
his
me.
His first instinct, when he was playing good, it was before Four Nations, and he was just like...
That Western road trip.
Go.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw his first shift.
The ice.
Two pizzas up the middle. Mm-hmm. One came right back from the neutral zone. Another one was almost a suicide pass to Matthews, who got buried at the top of the blue line. He came right back into the end zone. If he's skating and moving his feet and gives the opposition a thought of, hey, I could give and go here, I could make a pass, or I can skate it out, mm-hmm. It's a different world for him. But his whole key for me is when he's skating and moving his feet, different player.
How do you rest these guys between now and playoffs? How do you get them?
Well, I think you're going to keep playing and you're going to keep trying to win the division, clearly. But last night hurt.
Last night hurt for
that pursuit, boys. Like, there's no way around it. What are they? How they
four
were
points back, 4 points clear. Hand.
Yeah, like, it's just you can still. It's not insurmountable, clearly.
No,
but
they gotta turn it around. They gotta go on a little bit of a heater here. They need 4 or 5 in a row here. They need a. A good, strong finish to the regular season, which has to include consecutive wins here.
Yeah. I actually thought the two games of this slump where they played pretty well were Colorado and Florida. They lose both games to better teams, presumably. If those are, you know, tomato cans, they probably have a couple of wins, but they need a run of those games against beatable teams.
And we're going to go here soon as we get the Leafs line, but Leafs have the Ottawa Senators tomorrow night, and I don't know if you've been keeping up with the papers, boys, but they're first in the, since March 1st, first in wins, best record, second in goals per game, second best goal differential, first in even strength goals, coming in here, something to prove, hockey night in Canada, what are they, 4 or 5 points back of the Leafs?
Six, yeah.
And their game last night isn't good enough to beat Ottawa tomorrow night.
I'm terrified.
Ottawa's rolling.
I'm terrified of that game tomorrow night. Terrified.
Yeah, it's a scary one.
It really is.
Should be fun.
Yeah, great.
All right,
I just
Sammy.
Love watching this team right now.
That's why we do this.
All right, let's go to break.
We'll take a quick break here. When we return, it's the Leaf line. We sit back, we relax. It's the end of the week, and you all do the rest of the work. Back after these words.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to our Leaf Hour edition of our program, where you get your say. You've heard from us either overemphasizing or under the Leafs loss last night. Take your pick. Me or Justin or Sammy.
I think it's so hard to talk about this team. I really find it.
Hey.
I do.
Why do you think we have a whole hour?
It tires me out, man.
5 days a week.
It's a blessing and a curse that people care about it and we get to do this as a living. But after, it's just like, somebody asked me about the Leafs on the street. I'm like, I don't care.
Leave me alone.
Good God. You want to talk about tariffs?
Leave me alone. Jacob Marley carrying chains of the Leafs around.
Anything else?
Tariffs.
God. Leafs talk about Trump.
Please discuss politics.
God. Anyone want to talk about Trump?
Yeah. Easier.
Yeah.
Much easier.
Gonna be okay.
Let's go to Johnny from Ottawa.
Deep behind enemy lines. I'm here to tell you, boys, that the cavalry is on its way. The Sens are coming to town, and they're just about ready. I mean, the Leafs are just ripe for an absolute St. Patrick's bloodbath. Those stupid uniforms are not going to save them. It might distract us for a second and look away, but the Sens are coming. Leafs are in trouble. What is it with this team that just can't compete when it gets hard? What is it? What is it with these guys? I swear to God, we're sleepwalking into another playoff disaster with the same cast of characters, the same amount of excuses. It is honestly so bad. So bad.
Tell me... That, like, that,
honestly, we should go off air because he's just like, God, he's so right.
Like, Johnny, I love you.
I can just sum it up this way for Johnny. Mm. You just got to want it bad enough. And I'm not sure at times over the last few years if a lot of these players have hit that point.
Is this the love to win versus hate to lose conversation?
Definitely.
This is, I'd rather than lose.
Yeah.
And stupid saying it when you're 58, but when you're 25 or 27 or 30, it's like, got to be close to death.
Yeah.
I'd rather die. I'd rather be carried out in a body bag than lose.
You know what? So potentially, if you have so many of these generational talents, these superstars, success on the way up and cast of people around them, and all you do is have success and first overall and, you know, are very high, and you just, everything's come easy. And all of a sudden, it's not easy. You know, it's taken some years to see if any of them will go, okay, it's different here.
I think the team that we're going to see tomorrow night went through a lot of top picks, a lot of success early with points, a lot of success with 8-year deals making $8 million, and then there's a new ownership group, there's a new management team that says too easy, too soft, we got to break this up. And that to me is the number one reason why you got rid of Josh Norris. I know he's had some injuries.
You see, he's hurt.
I know.
Okay.
I know he's had some injuries.
He's hurt again.
Got hurt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
In Buffalo?
Yes.
Okay, whatever the case is.
Yeah, I'm just saying, okay. You're right, is my...
Whatever the case is, it's because of that comfort that it's just, you don't hate losing enough. You don't, it
You've
doesn't
handed
bother
the contracts,
you enough.
The captaincy, handed the success.
We got to break some of that up. Mm-hmm. That's why a guy like Dylan Cousins comes in, because he just...
He needs that too, though.
Changes.
He went through in Buffalo where they gave it, here's Samuelson's money, here's Power's money, here's Cousins' money,
nothing. Very fair comment for sure, and something needs to change, right? Something needs to change. And that's where I think people the last few years have been saying, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, like, change it. Change it. And no, get another crack.
We all agree if it happens in the first round again, we come in here, it's just like, It
I'm not convinced.
You're not.
No. Why would I be convinced?
That they would change it?
Yeah.
Of course they'll change it.
Yeah, we would have said that 4 years in a row, boys.
No, Marner will change it.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Right? All right, speaking of Marner.
He's not staying if they lose in the first round.
Speaking of Marner, let's go to Gail from Parts Unknown.
Hi, Sammy. It's Gail here. You are on my bad list now. Yes, the fans in Toronto are passionate, but they don't control what the players can do. Marner is the engine that drives this team, not Matthews. He has the right to be respected for his choices. He's equal to or better than Matthews. No one has a problem with Matthew's salary or Lazy Nylander's salary, but Marner is supposed to be the whipping boy, and yet he wants to be here more than anyone, perhaps except Tavares. Oh. Kipper, thank you for giving Sammy a smack across the side of his head. Sammy, next time your boss calls you in to give you a raise, tell him no thanks. That's it for me.
Wow. Bye. Gail.
Gail Marner, thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Grandma. What's his grandma's name? Gail?
I have no idea.
Next caller. Let's go to Jelly Ian and Jellybee.
I was hoping to connect with Chuck Nelson and his buddy Pancake Pete. I wanted them to know that I'm going to be with my friend Jim from Waterloo outside the bank tomorrow prior to the game. Yeah, we're going to be selling customizable paper bags along with TUMS, which stands for Sausable Used Maple Leaf Sweaters. We are looking for donations, and all proceeds will be going to the Bring Back Wendell and Dougie Relief Fund. All prices are going to be in Canadian dollars, with tariffs and taxes applicable only to sweaters with American players on the back. Uh-oh. In all seriousness, tomorrow night's going to be the biggest statement game of the year. I feel the Sens are going to make a bold statement. I think the Leafs are just going to give us the same old excuses. Your thoughts, gentlemen? Great show. Cheers.
This is how far, like how badly beaten down Leaf fans are, is that they're scared of the Sens. I'm scared of the Sens. It's like they've been a punching bag for 8 years where everyone's made fun of them. They said they've been great. And now it's like, yeah, they're going to rinse the Leafs tomorrow.
There's nothing like being a 100-point pace team fighting for first in your division and having people talk paper bags. That's wild.
Love it. Welcome to Toronto, baby.
He's not wrong when it's like you're going off of one statement game right into another one here. So maybe that's what the players need is us against the world mentality right now. But
yeah,
they need 60 minutes tomorrow night.
They need a salute gate. Oof. Hey, how's the nice lady from Armstrong?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet.
Not time?
Not yet. Shouldn't have put that on there because I don't want you to control the narrative. Let's go to another uplifting call. Sam from San Francisco.
Born into the Leafs diehard realm. I'm struggling this morning. feels like it's mid-April, early May, and we just lost another close playoff game where the penalty kill sucked, power play sucked, everything came from the perimeter. I don't know. I don't know the last time I felt this deflated and disencouraged after a regular season game. So, Kipper, I know optimism isn't your strong suit here, but is there anything to take from last night's game and make my day go by a little bit better? Other than Max Domi, who I thought looked awesome, I don't really got much.
Okay, well, Sam, clone of our Sam.
Sammy from San Francisco.
But it's like you were like separated at birth.
I'm telling you, man.
That was you.
There was more of this. Like, this is how people, like, what I told you, the relationship between this team and the fan, because of what you said, they've been together for so long that every loss like this in the regular season is like a smack in the face to them to remind.
I believe they call that PTSD.
Bingo! Yeah, nailed it.
It's like...
Okay. I'll take a page out of my good friend here, Justin Bourne, and say that they are still in hockey games, mm-hmm. right? They're still within a shot on goal of getting a point or two or winning a darn game. It was a late post as well last night, I think a Marner. And their goaltending still is good enough where they hang around. They're in it. They're there. So,
goaltending.
There. Yeah, the goaltending still for me.
Which hasn't been as good.
It hasn't been as good, but it was because it was so freaking great.
Yeah.
And it hasn't fallen off a cliff here. They're still really good. So, they're in hockey games.
Okay. Let's go to Kevin from Pickering.
Listen, I need to clarify something. Just because I phoned in a few weeks ago and said the Leafs were cursed, doesn't mean I don't already have my spot picked out for the parade. I've been taking a lot of slack for that one. So anyways, here's my question. Maple Leafs, seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals in Toronto. Where are you watching it? Are you at home with family, friends? You in a bar? You downtown? Where are you watching that epic game? Anyways, cheers, guys. Have a great weekend.
I think what comes to mind first for me is in this scenario, Sam, you would have to not work Leaf Talk. You can't do Leaf Talk after that, either way.
I would argue that that would be the reason you start doing Leaf Talk is to do that show.
Well, that's why Sportsnet would pay you to do it.
Yes.
But boy.
I would love to do it. So let's say I'm not me and I'm answering that question. Okay. Dark, dark room alone.
No. What about if they're up after two, do you go out into the public?
No other light other than the TV light. Blanket overhead. That's it.
You know, that is a really good question. Because I don't know. I don't know. I've never thought about it before. I cannot. I couldn't be in the alumni room. I couldn't be with a large amount of people. There's just no way I could watch it.
We might have to be
and be that distracted.
Yeah.
By, I couldn't.
You think people are going to be talking to you about the stock market game seven of the Stanley Cup final in the alumni box? I think they're going to be watching. Buddy.
Trust me, they're still chatty people.
You okay? Also just don't want donkey opinions in your ear from people like
what's wrong with him and like and. Last night, it was a big game. I just needed my couch. Mm-hmm. I needed the TV. I needed the remote. And I needed, like, Nick time.
I got to tell you, if someone offered me tickets, that game wouldn't go.
What are you talking about?
But there's the side of you that says...
No. You'd have to be in the building.
You have to kind of... You've waited your whole life for it. You got to be somewhere in the building.
I also got to say,
disagree.
Let's assume that this, you know, if this were to happen, let's assume Sportsnet would have us involved in some way.
I think, right? I think this is all under the we're not
no,
us.
No. This we're 80 now, right?
What do you mean?
Oh, the year that they're in the final. Yeah.
How old are we now?
Yeah. That's my.
We're
great...
assuming it's this year.
Yeah.
Or are we assuming this is before we die at some point?
That's a good point.
This is my great fear that like they show all those Cubs when the Cubs won, and there's that like old guy in the recliner. He's like, they did it. I'm like, don't let that be me.
That's not a fear.
I don't want that to. I want to be able to be like walk around and enjoy it, but I would watch it in my basement and then go out into the streets.
But as being a part of a Stanley Cup. And watching the fans' reaction from a game they thought we were going to close out in game five to game seven, that less people wanted to go to the seven than the five because of the disappointment of losing, right?
Yeah, there'd be tears streaming down my face the second the Leafs got. If they went down 1-0, I'd be bawling. Like, I couldn't do it.
At least you're stable.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go. I'm not here because I'm stable.
Good question, though.
Let's go to Nice Lady from Armstrong.
Shout out Armstrong, by the way.
Hey, Sammy. I don't need to be on your Leaf line, but I'm calling from Armstrong, B.C., and you need to change that jersey at the National Hour and get other jerseys up there because in the National Hour, it is not Maple Leaf jersey time. Thank you. Love you guys. Bye.
Can she produce for me?
I know.
And Justin, please. Can she come
submit
in?
Submit a resume and we'll shout out to the Waddells from Armstrong. Armstrong's like, I don't know, an hour and a half from Kelowna, and I once drove there and forgot one
skate.
We don't have time for anymore.
Yeah, we went all shallow and called out Ryan Smith to send us jerseys of Utah, and he did, and we will debut them in our National Hour. Yeah. And a hat, too.
We're actually debuting.
Hey, that's a good-looking hat, by the
not
way.
Not bad, eh?
We're actually starting on Monday, boys.
And you look good in it.
Well, thanks. The dad hat works.
Just a quick note for our listeners. On Monday, we're going to be debuting our new segment called Hockey Club Hour. And it's our first hour. And we'll be talking about the hockey club.
Yeah.
And no Leafs talk anymore.
Clayton Keller talk you can handle.
God, I love that. Kesserling.
God, look at you guys.
You like
shilling
McBain,
for
though.
Utah.
Like
you're
McBain.
Pathetic, you two.
Buddy, we told you. Absolutely for sale.
Never been more for sale.
That makes it three. All right. Our thanks to all of our callers on our Leaf line. Always great to hear the passion and the love, even in the tough times. Hey, Sammy.
When are they good?
They are. They'll get good again. All right.
Stick around. More of Off the Rails Friday when we bring in you know who.